When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-GOLD.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Clay and Buck Show, Hour 3. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being here with us. So much going on. Actually, some breaking news, a couple of breaking news items here. The first one... we said we'd talk about the border, and we will get to that in a few moments here because something has just emerged. There's a breaking news story there. But first off, we have this surrender of the suspect in this fatal shooting in New York City that occurred in the subway over the weekend. And just, I think we mentioned this news story on the show earlier in the week, but just to bring everybody up to speed on the situation. Goldman Sachs is a very well-known investment bank. This was a Goldman Sachs employee, Daniel Enriquez. He was on a Manhattan-bound Q train last weekend. So he was down in the New York City subway, and he was murdered. He was murdered, allegedly, by Andrew Abdullah. And there was, apparently, on video, and it's known, the guy just, Abdullah allegedly walked up to him and just executed him. Not that there is ever a cause for an incident that involves such violence, but there wasn't even give me your wallet or any kind of exchange. He just murdered this guy. And it was really shocking to everybody, obviously. And now we find out more about this individual, Abdullah, who has surrendered to police in New York City in Lower Manhattan. So he has the suspect has turned himself in. As there was a citywide manhunt, the mayor of New York City had been speaking out about this for the last couple of days because he is failing miserably at his primary mission of bringing down crime in the city of New York. In fact, overall crime is considerably up under this mayor's watch. And there was a really emotional, it was one of those things that's tough to watch and listen to, but important to watch and listen to, exchange between the sister of Daniel Enriquez, who was murdered on the subway by Andrew Abdullah, allegedly. So the sister went on Fox News, was speaking to Dana Perino, and she talked about what her family has been through, what this is like right now, obviously this tragedy, this horror that has happened to them, and just how the city, this is now becoming far too common, far too much a part of day-to-day life. And this is true in New York, it's true in Chicago, it's true in so many cities across America right now. But here she was, the wife of slain Daniel Enriquez. I'm sorry, pardon me. The sister of Daniel Enriquez was on Dana Perino's show, and here's how some of that conversation went.
It's been almost a year since I witnessed a shooting in my own neighborhood, and cooperating with the police, I had the opportunity to see people who've been arrested and convicted in my neighborhood. And I asked the police officer, it looks like the same person. And he said, it is. They keep committing crimes and they keep returning to the same neighborhood and they're violent and they're aggressive. And so after everything was said and done, when I went to the police at the precinct, they said he's already out. Mm-hmm. So the man who shot somebody in public at 2:30 in the afternoon by 11 o'clock was free to go in the New York streets in my neighborhood.
This is Griselda Vile, the sister, Clay, of Daniel Enriquez, who was slain over the weekend, discussing here a previous incident where she went to police because there was a shooting in her neighborhood, and the cops, this was just a year ago, and the cops were saying, yeah, he's already out. This guy, Andrew Abdullah, who allegedly now murdered Daniel Enriquez on the subway, was arrested 19 times.
Of course.
At what point is it just too obvious that defund the police and criminal justice reform and all this stuff is a recipe for more murders, more rapes, more anarchy and madness on the streets? At what point do people realize that the left has completely and utterly harmed city after city across the country?
As you well know, Buck, if you've been arrested 19 times, you've probably done things worthy of arrest hundreds of times. Because most people don't get caught the first time that they do something illegal. And so you have got a criminal element that knows that there are no consequences for their acts. And probably if you look at what this guy has done, I'm going to bet, Buck, and I haven't looked at his rap sheet yet because they just brought him in. But if you're walking up and shooting a completely innocent guy who had no interaction with you at all and murdering him, this isn't the first time that you've engaged in violent acts, right? Like the first time most people engage in violent acts who are criminals, they don't walk up and just shoot somebody. And so there is an undisguised failure all over America. And cases like these, which are on video, you can watch it, epitomize what is the larger killing fields that we have created in our cities. And by we have created, I mean Democrats have created with their soft on crime policies. Remember when Jen Psaki, before she left, was talking about the way different networks were covering news? And she was like, soft on crime? What does soft on crime even mean? It means you arrest somebody 19 times and then he walks up and murders somebody, Jen Psaki. That's what soft on crime looks like. People know what soft on crime feels like because it makes their communities not safe. And Buck, it's a tiny minority of people in these cities that is creating this tailspin. And if you don't allow police to monitor them and to police them aggressively, and yes, that can mean stop and frisk sometimes, then in the city of New York and other places, things spiral out of control. I was reading, we're almost at the 2-year. I think tomorrow is the 2-year anniversary of George Floyd's murder, if I'm not mistaken. Minneapolis is an unmitigated disaster in the wake of George Floyd. Not because of George Floyd, because of the response to George Floyd. The police officers deserved to be held accountable for their actions in Minneapolis. But we didn't need to make every police officer in the entire United States into a villain. That's what we did. We took cops off television, Buck, because it was too favorable of a treatment for police officers.
They burned a police station to the ground.
Yes.
Not in Fallujah, in Minneapolis, everybody.
Yes.
Think about this for a second. They tried many times to burn a federal courthouse to the ground in Portland, Oregon. And the mayor of Portland, who is a world-class moron, was basically like, hey, you know, these are just people that are trying to speak out, you know, Antifa. And then you remember he actually went out amongst Antifa and they all threw epithets and curses and everything at him, even after he had bent the knee, because these people are lunatics and they want to destroy. And there's not some conversation we need to have with Antifa about how they want society to be more just or fair. They're just lunatics. And, you know, on the issue of the 19 arrests, think about what this means in the process for the district attorney's office. And we could say the same thing about district attorney's office, I'm sure, in, we were just talking about Milwaukee, in St. Louis, in New York, in Phoenix, in Seattle. It's the same all over the place. By the way, I mentioned this. Florida, some of the major cities in Florida actually have not had the same kind of massive spike in violence. I think that's interesting. And I think it's because at the state level, Governor DeSantis has been backing up law enforcement all along and has refused to bend the knee to the woke madness. But pretty much cities everywhere else you can think of, 19 times. That means that there was a district attorney, Clay. One of my oldest friends here in New York City works the district attorney's office here, and I always talk to him. He's like, you can't say anything about it. I'm like, I just want to know what's going on. I'm never going to say anything. Somebody looked at this individual who committed this murder when he was on arrest number 12, when he was on arrest number 15.
Yeah.
And we're saying, you know, I don't think we want to go too far here. You know, maybe we're going to, now it depends obviously on what the offense is, but at some point you've just got to keep somebody off the streets because they're a danger. When they hit arrest number 16, I think it's fair to say, I don't think we're going to wait and see how 17 goes. I think we're going to have you serve 10 years. I think we're going to have to have you serve so that you understand that you cannot be a threat to the general population anymore. And this is what Democrats reject. They reject all this. They say the system is racist. They say the system is unjust. And somehow it becomes more just by punishing criminals, specifically violent criminals, less.
Do you think there's a single person listening to us right now, Buck, who's been arrested 10 times?
I mean, if there is, I want to hear the story.
Yeah, I would like to. My point is, at some point, and I don't know what number you want to make the number, you have to recognize that an individual is committed to lawlessness. And I don't know. I'm being really generous, I think, in saying, hey, let's get to 10. You get to 10, double-digit arrest, because, again, I think this is significant. It would mean that you are putting yourself in a position to be arrested, right, hundreds of times, meaning you are regularly committing violations and putting other people at risk. And this is what happens. That's no coincidence that as you go soft on crime, Jen Psaki, crime rates massively increase. This is what, those of us who are old enough to remember it, Buck, this is what the early 90s were like. Before the Rudolph Giulianis of the world came in and said, we're going to remake safety in American cities, this is what the late 80s and the early 90s were like as we were dealing with rapidly spiraling and increasing crime rates. And then what did they do? They held criminals more accountable. I've been saying it for a while. It's probably the only thing Joe Biden's gotten right in his entire career was the 1994 crime bill, which he ran against as a part of his campaign this year.
And he just did that because it was overwhelmingly popular at the time. It's not like Joe Biden was taking a stand. I mean, I don't think he deserves, like, it's not like Biden was the voice in the wilderness saying, we need to be tough on crime and Republicans. It was the American people were saying, this is crazy what's going on, particularly in cities. And finally, Congress was like, all right, I guess we got to do something about
this. One of the few things you can point to in Joe Biden's career and be like, hey, he was on the right side of this issue. And he ran against it. He ran against the one thing that he's gotten right. And now American cities have turned into killing fields. And he's the one who's in power. And he's the one who has to be responsible for it, which is what he argued he was going to be when he ran for president before all of a sudden you notice how he said adults are going to be back in charge. I won't abdicate responsibility for what's going on in the country. Now it's Putin's fault. It's you know, every single issue that arises, there's somebody else to blame.
It was a reality of New York in the 90s because I lived here and I remember I grew up here. And I think I told you there were just things that you had to get used to here that we never should have gotten used to. If you went into Central Park at night and got robbed, mugged, it was, what were you doing? The first question was, why would you be in Central Park at night? This is the,
what were you thinking?
This is the fanciest park in the fanciest neighborhood of all of New York City. And that's why when I told you about, my visit to Chicago, and I'm trying to give Chicago a fair chance. And then someone is murdered at the main tourist park in the whole city while it's still daylight outside. I mean, with crowds everywhere. You know, that's a real signifier of how much things have been in decay. But Clay, back in the 90s, I mean, they would, and you know, I spent a lot of time with guys in the NYPD. We were doing surveillance, and a lot of those guys have been in for, they've been on the job 20 years, 25 years, whatever. And they would tell me stories about the old days when I was a kid and they were, you know, starting out, turning out of whatever precinct in the Bronx or in Brooklyn, that's where those were the two areas where they had the most crime. They would say that they would, they would arrest a guy and he would have 90 arrests on his record.
Yeah.
And you sit here, you're like, how is the system? We're told about mass incarceration all the time and how it's so awful. And we hear these stories about the three strikes law and somebody stole a pack of gum and he's serving 30 years in prison. We hear about all that stuff when the libs want to push for criminal justice reform. And then we've got people getting shot by individuals who've been arrested 20 times, 50 yep. times. Old ladies being bludgeoned with hammers in the street by someone who's been arrested, 110 times. People are right to be outraged about this. And like New York, Houston, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Phoenix, Atlanta.
All of them skyrocketing
crime rates. Go down the list. Everywhere. I mean, unfortunately, Milwaukee's had a really, really tough year of violent crime. It's so many cities across the country. So anyway, it's just what happened on this guy. You know, he's the American success story. He's a Latino American. He's a family man. He's on the subway. He's going to brunch. It's a beautiful Sunday in New York City. He's on a very well trafficked train, and some criminal maniac who's been arrested 19 times just goes and murders him. And people turn around, they look at the city and they say, how can you allow this to happen? You know, and Eric Adams is going to give us another lecture on maybe if we change the permitting process for guns, because I think, unfortunately, Eric Adams is just not very smart. And he's much more interested in being a celebrity than being an effective politician for America.
He's already talking about running for president in 2024. Did you see they leaked that?
Yeah, but don't worry. He's going to do a reality TV show instead.
Why can nobody just be the mayor of New York City? They all feel like they have to run for president.
Yeah, you'd think it's kind of an important job. Maybe some Democrat could do it well. We haven't had a good Democrat mayor in my lifetime, by the way.
Yeah.
Because even Bloomberg was technically a Republican.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, well-formed words by a public speaker can be motivating, reinforcing, captivating, and more. When a speech is written and delivered to an audience in a commanding way, it shouldn't just be contained to the live audience that was assembled for it. That's why Imprimis Hillsdale's Digest of Liberty is so popular. Imprimis reprints the words of a speech recently delivered at one Hillsdale event or after another. For 50 years, Imprimis has featured speeches given at Hillsdale events by the smartest conservative thinkers and writers. These days, Hillsdale publishes people like Victor Davis Hanson, Molly Hemingway, Mark Stein, and Chris Rufo. Over 6 million American households and businesses receive Imprimis absolutely free. And if you're not a subscriber yet, it's time to sign up and start receiving this monthly publication. Our friends at Hillsdale want you to have that free subscription. To get your free subscription now, just go to clayandbuckforhillsdale.com. Just go to that website. It's totally free. clayandbuckforhillsdale.com. That's clayandbuckforhillsdale.com.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Want to hit you with a story that involves our border and certainly does not involve our border, as almost all border-related stories do, in a good way. This is reported right now from NBC News. A man named Shihab Ahmed Shihab of Columbus, Ohio. By the way, positive story there, at least. Columbus, number one show in all the city right now. The one you're listening to right now. This guy is in custody after the FBI says he wanted to smuggle 4 to 6 individuals from Iraq into the United States through the Mexico border to kill former President George W. Bush, court documents and law enforcement officials say. He allegedly wanted to conduct the attack on Bush in the name of ISIS. He was talking to an FBI confidential informant under some form of surveillance. They say the physical threat to George W. Bush was low. However, what this provides pretty candid and straightforward and transparent evidence of, Buck, is our southern border is such a sieve. Our security is so weak that there are people who would plot to kill former presidents of the United States by smuggling in terrorists through the southern border. This seems like a pretty clear indication that things are not going well there and that the danger at the southern border is pretty massive. And we'll continue to talk about this and more. We're actually going to be joined by current Georgia Governor Brian Kemp next. There is the primary going on right there in the meantime. But I want to tell you about our friends at Tunnel to Towers. They are right now continuing to do good and never forget the sacrifices America's greatest heroes have made for all of us. People who've risked their lives for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever, and they are giving incredible opportunities to those people. You know, over $5 million has been donated, including both Buck and I. We're asking you to do the same. Help support our nation's greatest heroes and their families. Join us in donating just $11 a month to Tunnel the Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Do it today and help take care of our severely injured first responders and veterans and their families. That's T2T.org.
Welcome back to Clay and Buck. It is decision day in Georgia, for the primary at least. A lot of hotly contested races underway. And in one of those races, we've got the current governor of the state of Georgia, Brian Kemp, with us now. Governor, appreciate you making the time.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, guys. Good afternoon.
Appreciate you, sir. So tell us, what do folks need to know about what you're pushing for and what's going on today? I mean, what are the primary takeaways for Georgia Decision Day?
Hey, what I've been telling people for weeks and months now is we're in the fight for the soul of our state, and Marty and the girls and I are getting up every day working hard to make sure that Stacey Abrams is not going to be our governor or your next president. And we got to win the primary first to be able to do that. But that's our message to people is, look, I've got the record to beat her. I've beaten her before, and we can do it again, and we need to get the vote out today and bring this thing home tonight and then unite and go and make sure that Stacey Abrams is not going to be our governor.
Governor, you won by 55,000 votes in 2018, and Stacey Abrams refused to concede. She's now saying Georgia's the worst state in the country. She's getting her picture taken, not wearing a mask while all the kids around her have to wear masks. How bad do you have to beat her, you think, for her to be willing to concede in 2022?
No, man, I'm not worried about her conceding. I just want to beat her. You know, I want to beat her and get the race certified and continue serving this great state. I'm so proud of our state. It's obvious she is not. We have resilient people here. We fought through so much, especially over the last 2 years, and have so many good things going for us. You know, she's tired of hearing that we're the number one state in the country for business. Well, I'm not tired of hearing that, because we're giving hardworking Georgians great opportunities out there. And Marty and the girls and I know we live in the greatest state in the country to live, work, and raise our families. And, you know, that's what we're fighting for. She's trying to please her Hollywood elite and folks in New York and California and other places around the country that are funding her campaign so she can use this as a stepping stone to be president. And we're focused on hardworking Georgians and doing what they want and what they care about. And that's why I reopened the economy when I did, after not closing most of it. And she criticized me, and while we pushed to get her kids back in the classroom, she criticized that. Passed the strongest Election Integrity Act in the country. She criticized that. She criticized the heartbeat bill, and everybody was trying to cancel us here. But I stood up and fought back, because that's what Georgians wanted. You know, I was listening to them, not the national media and not her. And that's what I'll continue to do as our governor.
Georgia Governor Kemp is with us right now. And Governor, there's this narrative that's already forming, because some of the early voting numbers are already in. And not a surprise to the hosts here or the audience of this show, but numbers are up. It turns out, despite Joe Biden claiming Georgia was engaged in Jim Crow 2.0, and yes, that was the quote said many times by Biden among other prominent Democrats, that's clearly not going on. I mean, that was an outrageous slander, really, of your state at the time to say that. But now they're trying to claim, well, if it weren't for the voting integrity measures in the state of Georgia, it would have been an even better turnout. What do you say to that argument?
Look, their argument is falling on deaf ears here. You know, people in Georgia know it's easy to vote. Now it's hard to cheat. We passed the strongest Election Integrity Act in the country, but we have, you know, great opportunities for people to vote in early voting here in our state. Over 3 weeks, we added days for people to vote on the weekend. Last year in the Elections Integrity Act, obviously you can vote weeks before the election by an absentee ballot in Georgia. And poor President Biden didn't even realize his own state of Delaware is restrictive or more restrictive than most states in the country. I'm pretty sure I can say that. I know they're more restrictive, Delaware is, than Georgia. So they're just all being hypocrites. I mean, look, Stacey Abrams reserved the domain name Jim Crow 2.0 3 weeks before the final version of the bill was ever put together, because they don't care about the truth. It's just this narrative that they want people to believe because it polls good with certain people. But now people are seeing what the truth is, just like, you know, we knew it would be when it played out. And you're seeing, you know, the participation rate is up in Georgia. It's up on the Democratic side as well as the Republican side. And that's a good thing. We want people to participate. But we also want everybody to have confidence in the elections. And, you know, people want to have confidence in their government. And I think they're concerned with where Stacey Abrams would take us if she were our governor, because it'd be the same way they're taking Washington, D.C., with 40-year high inflation, more taxes, more regulation, less opportunity. And that's what we're fighting against. And that's why we're in the fight for the soul of our state and just asking people for their vote and their support today. But this is going to be a race that'll be the number one watch governor's race in the country. So, you know, after we get through tonight, we're going to need, you know, everybody out there that's worried about Stacey Abrams being the president coming here to support us and helping her defeat her again.
Governor Kemp, when we talked, I remember speaking of people that bought into the Jim Crow 2.0 lie. One of them was Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, and he pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta. Now, I know a lot of Braves fans listening to us right now are excited because the Braves won the World Series and brought three World Series games to Atlanta anyway. But I believe Rob Manfred called you and told you that he was going to be pulling the All-Star game. Assuming you win tonight, which I think you are, do you plan on talking to Rob Manfred anytime soon and asking him to bring the All-Star game back to Atlanta? Because beyond any doubt whatsoever, the criteria which he used to justify pulling that All-Star game has been proven to be 100% false. Shouldn't he apologize to the people of Georgia, Atlanta Braves fans, and bring the All-Star game back, given what he's been now proven to be wrong about?
Well, the best news is the Braves got us poetic justice when they won the World Series. I think the baseball gods were looking out for us, because what was done by Major League Baseball and other big corporations was wrong. They didn't understand what was in the bill. They were trying to, you know, placate to the radicals and to Stacey Abrams because of political pressure, and they folded to it. And I warned them that you can never make this crowd happy. There's always going to be more they want. And also warned them that you're going to make the other side mad in the middle of this. You should just stay out, because the truth is the bill is a good bill. You know, but I'm not focused on the All-Star game right now. I'm focused on the Braves winning and getting back above 500 and winning the division again. And I'm focused on winning this election here tonight and again in November. I'm not too worried about Major League Baseball right now. I think they've seen, by the way things have played out and what the numbers are in early voting, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that the truth was on our side. We did the right thing, and we are going to continue to do that. And that's what I've been standing up for, even under incredible political pressure. And I think that's what people want in their leaders. You know, they want somebody that's going to stand up and fight for them. And I have been doing that, and that's what I want to continue to do.
Governor Kemp, enjoy the night. We'll talk to you again soon. I know it's going to be a long struggle through the fall, but a lot of people got their eyes on Georgia, and we look forward to helping you out.
Thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Governor.
That is Governor Brian Kemp. Big night in the state of Georgia when it comes to primaries. Hey, you know what? It's right now about 2:45 coming up on the East Coast, 11:45 on the West Coast. Maybe a little bit of a drag going on out there. Early afternoon, get a little sleepy after lunch. Same thing happening on the West Coast. You might need some Black Rifle coffee. Just give you a little bit of pep, take you through the rest of your Tuesday. It's what Buck and I do. In fact, I'm drinking it right now. Company founded by a military veteran who's recruited fellow coffee lovers and fellow military veterans to make coffee we drink every day. If you haven't had Black Rifle coffee yet, give them a try. Coffee comes right to your door, your home or office, all 50 states, fresh grounds, whole beans, Keurig cups, cold brew cans, the whole thing, any way that you want to get hooked up, no matter how you like your coffee, Black Rifle Coffee has you covered. They've got 20 different blends, and you can go online and check and see what might be the best fit to you. There's even a Black Rifle Coffee Club to help you make your selection. The cold brew, that's what I drink. 11-ounce cans, espresso mocha, right out of the can. Boom, you pop the top. You are ready to roll. You can get it at blackrifle.com and you can blackriflecoffee.com. You can use our names, Clay and Buck, in your purchase price for 20% off. Let me tell you, blackriflecoffee.com. Use the code Clay and Buck. That's my name, C-L-A-Y. Buck's name, B-U-C-K. 20% off to have this great coffee sent to your home. Get hooked up now at Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Go to puretalk.com/buck to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/buck.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, closing out the Tuesday edition of the program. Just want to always make sure that I remind you guys, you can basically find this our show everywhere. We are certainly on the 400-plus affiliates all over the country. We love all you guys listening there. You can go download the podcast. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. You give us 5-star review. Dub will review those, and we'll give some of those shout-outs here in the near future. You can also always check us out at clayandbuck.com, and we are even now up on YouTube. They are grabbing some videos and sharing those. Certainly, you can also sign up for the VIP at clayandbuck.com and get access to a lot more of those videos behind the scenes of what this show looks like. All of those things taking place every single day. I asked the question. I didn't think the answer was going to be yes. I asked the question, do we have any listeners, Buck, who have been arrested 10 or more times?
We've got a lot of folks.
I thought the answer would be no.
We got a lot of folks who listen to the show, Clay. When you're dealing in the millions, you know, if we ask somebody, if we put the call out there, hey, has anyone in this audience been abducted by aliens? Like, for real, there's a couple of people who probably would say they've been abducted by aliens. I'm just saying.
So credit to these guys for calling in, saying they've been arrested 10 or more times. I'm actually curious how it happened, what their background is. Tony from Florida, 10 or more times. When did these start, and when is the most recent time that you've been arrested, and what in the world were you arrested for?
Hi, Clay and Buck. Yeah, this is Tony, and I'm in Tampa, and I don't get arrested anymore, but I've been arrested over 20 times.
Wow. When did this happen? Like, how did this happen? What were you doing?
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, my family wasn't all together, and I took off as a 15-year-old and hit the street. It became a mindset that I thought as long as nobody knew about it, I could get away with it. Eventually, it caught up to me, and, you know, I paid my dues. But the problem is you got some people that commit the crimes such as personal crimes, you know, like murder and battery and rape and all that stuff. They don't care. They really don't care. Me, I was more of a property criminal. And I got arrested, and I copped out to it, and I went and did my time. The last time that
Wait,
I got arrested,
Tony, can I ask you, I'm so curious, what was the longest stretch you did?
4 years on a 12-year sentence, and then I violated it and went back and did two more.
Wow.
What was
That's
prison
a long
like?
Time.
I've been to Florida State Penitentiary 5 times.
How long have you been out now?
For almost 10 years.
All right.
So
what
turned your mentality
about?
Sorry.
I was going to say, what was the worst thing about prison?
Yeah.
What was the worst thing about prison in your mind?
The worst thing is not being able to do what you want, like going to your refrigerator and getting some ice cream, not, you know, having the things you want, and then privacy. You have no privacy whatsoever. And then, you know, the guards are telling you what to do, and I didn't like that. But I knew that that was my punishment, and I had to walk through it, and I did it day by day, the same as AA, you know, one day at a time.
Tony, what turned you around? Because obviously you said, you know, you're never going back because you're never breaking the law again, and God bless, and that's what we like to hear. But what was the turning point for you? When did you realize you were going to stay on the right side of the law always going forward?
Well, I wanted to be a free man, and I wanted to have a job and get a paycheck and have a house and you know, being able to get the things I want. I don't want to be subjected to that punishment. You know, I fear going through being arrested and going to court and going through the system. I don't want that no more. I got a little company on my own right now. And I'm doing the best I can, and it's one day at a time, and I carry the stigma with me. I feel like I'm a constitutionalist trapped with the stigma of being an ex-con, and they tell me I can't vote, but I want to file a lawsuit against it because I believe that's something that's a right that's given, you know, by the Constitution and not the politicians.
Thank you for the call, Tony. I'm not an expert, but I know that there are processes by which felons can get their rights
restored,
back to vote.
Yes,
yeah,
to vote,
restored.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to look that up. I think you could probably Google it if you are committed to being on the straight and narrow going forward. We thank you for listening. By the way, also Russ in Massachusetts says he has been arrested
over 10 times. Russ, how many times? We just heard over 20. How many times?
Well, mine's actually only 10.
Okay.
Only 10. Only all right, 10. How did it happen?
How did it happen? Well, originally I had gotten into a car accident and gotten numerous rechargeable events and ended up losing my license. Shortly thereafter, my mother had gotten into a car accident and ended up in a nursing home, and being the eldest child of the family, I was the only one able to drive. So, needless to say, I kept getting the local police ended up recognizing my car numerous times and running errands and this and that for my family. I got pulled over and arrested 10 times driving without a license.
You got arrested 10 times for driving without a license?
Yes, sir.
So they would put you in cuffs and take you into the jail 10 different times?
Into the police department. I'd end up going up in front of a judge and pleading out and telling them my case. And I mean, liberal Massachusetts thankfully was lenient on me up until about the 10th time, where they wanted me to serve 8 months for being a habitual offender.
And you were primarily just living your life. That's one of the challenges, obviously, of getting your license revoked, is it's a punishment that doesn't allow. It's almost like a debtor's prison back in the day. You almost have to be able to drive a car to be able to do virtually anything in America. And so that right. is an incredibly draconian punishment because it takes away much of your life. That actually makes more sense.
And at that point in time, this was between the ages of 18 and 20. And like I said, my mother had gotten into a car accident, was in the hospital for a while, and then in a rehabilitation center, couldn't drive. I had a younger sister who was 3 years younger than I was, who wasn't old enough to drive at the time. So the bills needed to get paid and shopping needed to get done. So,
well, Russ, we appreciate you sharing your perspective on what it's like to go through the system. And we wish you and yours, you know, all the best, and obviously going to stay on the straight and narrow going forward. See, Clay, you never know, man.
Didn't think there was anybody listening over 10 times. We got two immediate callers. There you go.
Folks, we got a lot to talk to you about tomorrow. We wanted to spend more time on the mess at the southern border today and the Title 42 impending revocation. It's not sure when it's going to happen, but the numbers are already starting to come in. It's going to be very, very high for the month of May. That's for sure. We'll discuss that. Plus, Clay, we'll have Georgia results to share with everybody.
and Alabama and Arkansas. Could be a really interesting day to be able to break down everything going on in the world as we get closer and closer to the midterms, which needs to be an absolute red storm. We'll talk about that with you tomorrow. Thanks for hanging.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.